I'm going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit, the one that teaches us, guides us, and directs us into all truth. Lord, I thank you for knowing that what you put in my heart to share with your people and those online tonight, Father, I've been meditating on this all since Saturday sometime when you dropped it in my spirit. And then you confirmed it on Sunday when Pastor Mark was ministering. And I'm just so blessed by your ability to take something very simple, expound on it, and bring about new revelation, new understanding, and new excitement in what you're wanting to do in the hearts of your people. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Pastor Mark started teaching on hearing God's voice on Sunday. And I don't know about you, but whether it was Pastor Bill, Pastor Mark, Karen, or whoever else has been used by God, Christine here teaching, I like listening to the message more than once. And we can do that now with online. But after Mark taught on Sunday, I said, this is a question, I said, why does God want us to hear His voice more clearly? There's a reason. There's a reason that Pastor Mark is teaching on this subject at this time. There's an importance in hearing God's voice more clearly in the times in which we're living. It's absolutely necessary. And as soon as I asked that question, the Lord took me on an interesting study, which I'm going to, with the Lord's help, I'm going to minister to you tonight. Most of you know I like acronyms. You know, like fear, false evidence appearing real, faith, Father's assurance in the heart. I like acronyms, okay? But the Lord goes, no, you're not using an acronym. I'm going to show you something different. And this is the word, but He didn't give me an acronym. He told me, I want you to break this word down, and I'm going to tell you how to break it down, and then I'm going to show you what I want you to teach and why I want you to teach it. And the word is guidance. G-U-I-D-A-N-C-E. And this is how He told me to break it down. He told me to put G-U-I and dance. I said, okay, Lord. G-U-I, dance. He says, I'm going to have you concentrate on the last part of that word guidance. I'm going to have you concentrate on dance. He said, I want to teach you something. I said, okay. So the Lord said, what makes a good dancer? I said, I have no clue. I'm not a good dancer. And so I did some study. I started looking at different things on what makes a good dancer. And this is what I found. I'm just going to read some stuff to you because I wrote it down because I don't know that much about dance other than that's all I'm going to say. But this is what some of the experts in the field of dance had to say. It says the most difficult thing to master in dance of any kind is not the steps. It is the interaction with your partner. And the Lord goes, there's a lot of steps in Christianity that my people are trying to master. But I'm wanting to dance with my people. I'm wanting my people to dance before me. But they have to learn something about dance before the other three letters in the word guidance can take place. I said, okay. And here's the secret to dance. In every area I went to, the secret to dance was lead and follow. Said lead and follow is a secret to getting two partners dancing smoothly together. I said, okay. And then he said, that's why Pastor Mark has begun teaching on hearing God more clearly. Because the more clearly we hear God's voice, the more we're going to be able to follow and get into a partnership where we flow together very smoothly. Because whenever you see great dancers, they look like one. And see, God is wanting us to be one with Him. Now, the next thing I learned is there is always two people involved in dance. One who leads and one who follows. And it says in partner dance, one partner is facing forward while the other has their back to the direction of travel. The person who should lead is the person who can see where they are going. And the Lord goes, who has a better picture of where you're going? Me or you? I said, you're in the lead, Lord. And then the other thing it says, leading means using just enough pressure to give a signal, but not so much that you're pushing your partner around. If you're using force to move your partner, you're doing it wrong. The Holy Spirit never pressures. The Holy Spirit never pushes. The Holy Spirit leads. The Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit directs. So, in this dance with the Lord, in this dance with God, He's leading gently. He's leading us gently. Go over here. Go over there. Back up. A good lead dancer when his partner dancing is just causing the flow to take place. So I said, okay, I understand that. And the Lord says, but here's what happens when two people try to lead. Nothing feels right. In dance, nothing feels right. Think about when you're trying to lead and God's wanting to lead. It just doesn't feel right. The movement doesn't flow. The movement in your life doesn't flow. Because God's saying, go here, and you're going, no, I want to go there. But see, when we as Christians start to, well, let me stick with the lead and follow thought process here. Go to Mark 8:34. Because one of the first things, and it occurs more than once, one of the first things that Jesus said when he called his disciples was what? What's that? Follow me. So in Mark 8:34, when he had called the people unto him with the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. Jesus is establishing that we as disciples need to be followers. He's the lead dancer. And when we allow him to lead us, we will just begin to flow in the path that he has us to go. And the word lead there means follow one who precedes, join, accompany him, be in the same way with him. Has anyone in here tried to do it your way? How did it work out? Not too good. Okay, in the same book, go to Matthew 4:19. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Once again, he's saying, follow me. So, going back to the lead and follow, which is the secret to being good dancers, it's not our job to lead. From the time Jesus called his disciples, he did not cause them to lead. He says, follow me. See, when we learn to follow him, all the other things in our life begin to come into place. Because guess what? Just like two good dancers that are flowing to the music and it looks like there's one person dancing, when we begin to follow him and begin to flow, those around you do not see you. They see the Spirit of the living God and Jesus in you. Because you're just going. Go to Matthew 11:29, because this is the other area he had me look at. As most of you know, I grew up on a farm. And this scripture in Matthew 11:29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Well, how many of you have ever seen a yoke? Is it for one head or is it for two heads? Two heads. So that means Jesus is speaking here. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We all know this passage of Scripture. I know this passage of Scripture. I've used and relied upon that passage of Scripture many times. But having grown up on the farm, any time you yoked up Clydesdales or oxen, there is always a lead oxen and there is always a lead Clydesdale horse. Always. And that lead horse or that lead oxen will just nudge and the other oxen or Clydesdale horse learns to follow that nudge. Jesus is saying here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, when we're yoked to Jesus and he's leading and we've submitted because we've denied ourselves. We've denied ourselves. We denied our plans. We denied our purposes. Then he starts to, no, go this way. No, go that way. That's exact. I grew up in a small town, and we used to have horse pulling contests. You go, that's got to be real boring. Well, it's interesting because they would bring in these big Clydesdale horses, these team of horses, and the team that always won was the team in which the horses worked together, and when they got hooked up to that sled and were given the okay to go, it looked like one horse. Their movement, their digging into the dirt, they were one horse. But there was always a lead horse. He wasn't always the biggest one, but he was the lead horse. And the other horse, because we didn't have oxen, the lead horse knew when that guy sitting on that wagon or whatever says, hit the reins, he knew, boom, it's time to go. Well, see, Jesus wants us to learn of him. He wants to teach us. But we got to be like that partner in dance. We have to know that it's not the steps. It's not the steps that matter. It's following the lead of the lead dancer. Jesus is the lead dancer. Now then, why is it important? So, I said there was two aspects of dance, and that's the last part of the word guidance. Dance is the last part. And the key to good dancing, I said, was lead and follow. Well, we just learned, there's more scriptures than I'm going to go over right now, but there's many more scriptures in which Jesus says, follow me. He uses the word follow me more than once. He didn't say follow the leadership of Christian Service Center. He didn't say follow the brother or sister that you look up to. He didn't say follow the ways of the world. Follow the most popular thing that's going on in the world. Follow those who are successful. He didn't say that. He said follow me. Because if we're going to learn of him and we submit and we learn to follow him, I want to take a look at some scriptures pertaining to lead. If we're to follow, that means he's going to lead, correct? God is going to lead, correct? Go to Mark 11:52. Mark 11:52. What am I looking at here? There isn't one. You're right. Why did I write down Mark 11:52? Okay. Go to John 16:13. There is a John 16:13. I don't know what that note was from. If you're listening over the internet, there is no John or Mark 11:52. That's a mistake. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatsoever he what? He hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. The word that I told you, the Lord told me to break down, was guidance. Well, here it says, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you. That word guide means lead on one's way, give guidance. Leader of the way. The Spirit of truth. Did Jesus leave us the Spirit of truth? Did he leave us the Holy Spirit? The purpose of him leaving the Holy Spirit was to guide you and I in the way that we need to go. And the way we need to go is simply follow him. Follow Jesus. He's going to direct you where you need to go. It says the Spirit of truth has come. So, if the Spirit of truth has come, the Spirit of truth is here. Spirit of truth is in this world right now. And he's looking to guide you and I into all truth. Is there a lot of mistruth in the world in which we live? Yeah. And here's the key in this passage. He says, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatsoever he hears will he speak. Who's he hearing from? He's hearing from his Father. He's hearing from his Father. Jesus is hearing from his Father. And he will tell you all things to come. Do you think it's important for us to be able to hear what God is wanting to say to us in the times in which we're living? If he has the ability to tell us all things that are coming down the pike? Yeah. Pastor Mark has given the example up here many times. You know, you know how we have fire drills sometimes in different lines of work and different facilities and stuff? I always wondered what would happen if we had a Holy Ghost fire warning by our pastor. He's standing up here some Sunday morning and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, clear out. Get out of this place. And we're all outside. 5 minutes after we get outside, boom, blows up. Would we all get up and go or go, what the heck's wrong with him today? But if Jesus is directing him, are we going to follow? Or are we going to say, he needs prayer today? Because see, the Holy Spirit will give us warning. The Holy Spirit will show us things to come. And he's our pastor. So if we have something going on in this church, you think he's not going to speak to him? Yeah, he is. He does it every Sunday. Whether you or I see it or not, he speaks to him every Sunday. Is he perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. So you can't cast any stones. Okay? So the Spirit of truth is going to guide us. Also means it's going to lead us. So once again, going back to that, the most important thing about the word dance and that word guidance is there's lead and follow. God is wanting to lead us. What is he wanting to lead us to or lead us in? He wants to guide us into all truth. He wants to lead us into all truth. Not partial truth, not half truth, not watered down truth, all truth. If you're ever in a situation and there's discrepancy on what's being said, if we follow after Jesus, he will always reveal the complete truth in what we're trying to get an answer to. Because he cannot lie, he cannot deceive. That's not his nature. Go over to Psalm 5:8. Remember, we're to follow. God is leading. And I found it interesting because a lot of the leads that the Lord led me to were in the book of Psalm. And who was known as a dancer? David. David knew how to dance before the Lord. He knew how to dance before the Lord. And I believe that, yeah, David made mistakes, but David knew how to dance before the Lord. Why was he able to dance before the Lord? Because the Lord was leading him. Listen to what he says here in verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. That's a great place to be led, isn't it? That's what he wants to do. The word lead there means way or course of life. Go to Psalm 25:5. It says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Lead me in your truth. We saw that in John 16. God is always wanting to, if we will follow Him, He's always wanting to lead us into truth. Because some of us came out of error. Some of us came out of mistakes. Some of us came out of bad doctrines. He always wants to lead us. And if we follow after Jesus, He will always lead us into truth. You know, when I was in New York and receiving teaching tapes by Pastor Bill, I remember the first time I went through, I forget which series it was, something didn't set right in my heart. And you know why it didn't set right in my heart? Because what he was preaching was the truth of God's Word. And the reason it didn't set right in my heart, because there were things in my heart that didn't line up with the truth of God's Word, and he was just putting the hammer and just, wait a second. But the more I listened to it, the more I allowed Jesus to lead me, all of a sudden, ah, that makes sense. Oh, that makes sense. Oh, now I understand why he's teaching those subjects. Because he's always wanting to lead us into truth. No one's here. Jesus is always here. So, it says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Unto thee do I wait all thy day. In dance, as I was looking and studying that subject, the person who's following sometimes has to wait before that person gets the nudge or the direction to go to make that next move look fluid. And it says here, on thee do I wait all the day. Lord, if I need to wait before you tell me to follow you, if I need to wait before you tell me to go in the direction I need to go, I'll wait. Because you're always going to lead me in the path I need to go. Go to Psalm 27:11. In serving Jesus, has any of you ever had enemies? Well, look what 27:11 says. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. That's a good scripture too. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? But it's 27:11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way. Not Ruth's way. Not Dan's way. Not Joshua's way. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Has your walk as a Christian always been smooth? Or you've been on a rocky road? That was a Kodak moment right there, Debbie. The path that we've had to walk on has been kind of bumpy and uneven at times. And I read this passage of Scripture, and I said, Lord, you said, lead me in a plain path. Lead me in a smooth path. I said, why at times does it feel bumpy? Why do times feel like it feel rocky? He goes, because you weren't allowing me to teach you my ways, and you weren't allowing me to lead. You changed the dance position. You wanted to be the lead dancer, and you're not a lead dancer. You're the one that needs to learn how to dance as a follower. I'm the lead dancer. Then go over to 31:3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Can we say amen to that? Therefore, for whose sake? For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. The word guide there is an interesting word. It means give rest, guide to a watering place, protect, sustain. Lead me and guide me. We all get weary sometimes as Christians, don't we? And we just, as Pastor Mark shared when he was talking about the enemy and how the enemy tries to wear us down, just tries to wear us out. But see, when we're allowing the Lord Jesus and we're following Him, we're denying ourselves, He's going to lead us to that place we need refreshing. He's going to lead us to that place where we get fresh water. He's going to lead us to that place where the source of life we need for that moment will be there for us. Why? Because He loves us. He loves you. I sometimes think that we don't really fully understand. I know we don't fully understand how much God really loves us. See, the enemy's always beating us down. The enemy's always wanting to tell us, "Well, you're not there yet. You're not good enough. You know, look at your life. Look at what you've accomplished. What does any of that have to do with following Jesus and serving Jesus? He said, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus took up his cross. Where did it lead to? Death. Death on the cross. And see, there's so much in you and I that needs to die. That's why he says, take up your cross and then follow me. He didn't say, well, wait till everything's dead in you. Wait till you've got it all figured out. And then I'll come back and say, follow me. No. As a result of us taking up our cross and following him, he begins to lead. You remember your first... I want you to think about something. Thank you, Lord. Think about your first 2 months of salvation. Just think about it a second. Just pause and think about it a second. I'll guarantee you almost 100% of the people that are in this room had dancing, happy feet. Because you were so excited that someone else had taken residence in your heart and you were no longer that old person. You knew you were a new creation and all the old things had passed away. And you began to get a hop in your step. Psalm 32:8. Go to Psalm 32:8. Remember I said, sometimes I don't think we really understand how much he wants to be the lead dancer? In everything we do. Not just the things we choose to allow him to lead in. But when dance partners are good dance partners, they stay together for years because they just move so fluently. Well, in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Remember I was talking about one of the keys for a good lead dancer? Is the lead dancer is able to see the direction the movement of the steps are going to go. That's why they're a lead dancer. He's saying here, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou should go. Not only is he going to instruct us, but he's going to teach us how to get there. Why is he going to do that? I will guide you with some idea. I'm not sure how. He's going to guide thee with mine eye. God is going to guide you with his eye. Because he's the lead. We're the follower. That's why I said, if Pastor Mark were to say, okay, get out of here. We got 5 minutes to get out of here. What would be happening right there at that moment? Other than some people would think he's crazy. Okay? But what would be happening is he would no longer be seen with his eyes. He would be seen with God's eyes. And God would be instructing and teaching him in the way that we needed to go at that particular moment. That's how personal of a God he is. His eye. Go over to Psalm. I told you, almost all these leads and guides are in Psalm 60. Or not Psalm 60, but they're in the book of Psalms that the Lord led me to. Psalm 61:2. Remember I said at the beginning, Pastor Mark is teaching on why we need to hear God's voice? Well, I'm going to start in verse 1 of Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever had an overwhelmed heart? Just, I don't know how much more I can take. I don't know whether I can go on. This is what we need to do when we're overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. When we go to the rock, we're back on firm foundation. A foundation that can't be destroyed. A foundation that's going to weather whatever storm we're going through. But God will guide us and lead us to that rock. He will lead us to that rock. Go to Psalm 139:24. How are we doing on time? Okay. Verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked ways in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. See, God wants us to follow after Him, and He wants to lead us in that way that He's designed for you and I. Brother Scott has a way that the Lord is leading him in his life that only Scott can complete. I can't go in his way. He can't go in my way. We each have different ways that God is leading us. But the responsibility we have to follow Him is the same. How He leads us is different. But He is leading and wanting to lead every one of us in the way that He has purpose for your life and my life. And when we begin to do that, we're like those two great partner dancers. We just flow together. And when Scott starts to flow with Jesus, and I start to flow with Jesus, and Josh starts to flow with Jesus, guess what happens to this body? We all start to flow with Jesus. Because He's now the lead. He's now in the lead. I'm not saying we're going along for the ride, but I'm saying we know who's in control and we're not fighting that little nudge or that little gentle push or that little tug. We're not fighting it anymore. Go to Proverbs 6:20. It was kind of a sad way of saying that, wasn't it? It's interesting because in verse 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Then he gives them a warning. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. See, God's word will lead us. It's going to lead thee when we're sleeping. You know, you can be sleeping and still hear God's voice. God can still be showing you things even when you're sleeping. He can be speaking to your spirit man and showing you things He wants to lead you in, directions He wants to lead you in. And when you're awake, when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Well, if God wants to talk to us when we're awake, that means He has things He wants to speak to us. But in order for us to hear what He wants to speak to us, we're going to find in the coming weeks, with Pastor Mark's teaching, more of why He wants us to listen and to hear God's voice more clearly. Because there's things He's wanting to speak. You ever been in a conversation that a person just talk? And they don't know anything. They don't know anything you've said because they talk. They just talk. I think sometimes we can get into that bad habit with God. We go to our Father and just talk. He's going, shh, be still. I got some things I want to speak to you. But I can't get a word in edgewise. Because you got a motor mouth. You're just, and He's waiting for a pause, but He doesn't get it. And at that point, who's leading and who's following? We're leading, and we're wanting Him to follow. He goes, no. That's not the way this dance partnership is set up. Go to Proverbs 23:19. It says, hear my son and be wise and guide your heart in the way. Word guide there means lead. Allow me to lead in the way that I want you to go. And this one really blessed me. Go to Isaiah 58:11. Because, you know, sometimes we think God goes on vacation. I don't know why, where we get that idea from. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. You ever wake up in the morning and your bones are a little dry? Guess what? He can strengthen those bones. He can water those joints. As I get older, I never thought that, you know, your bones would sometimes ache. But guess what? They do. But I know that I can go to bed with aching bones, and I can wake up the next day with normal bones. Why? Because it says, the Lord shall guide thee continually. What does continually leave out? What's that? Let me ask you this question then. Is God more faithful than 7-Eleven? Is 7-Eleven open 24/7? Have you ever? I'm going to see how observant you are. Have you ever walked into any 7-Eleven and seen a lock on the front door? Every 7-Eleven that I've walked into, I've never seen a lock. Now, they may have changed that. But for a long time, they had no locks on the front door. Why? Because they never locked them. Someone was there 24/7. The door to Jesus is never locked. It's open 24/7. No matter what time of the day, when you call, He's there. Continually. We don't serve a part-time God. We serve a God who's there all the time. Go to Psalm 73:24. I'm going to read verse 23. This is how loving our God is. We just read that He's continually, right? Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Didn't we just read that in the previous? I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right. If that's not a personal God, I don't know what it is. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Matthew 11, when it says, take my yoke upon me and learn me, or learn of me. He's wanting to guide you and I. He's wanting us to yoke up to Him. and be that follower in the dance. It says, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Lead dancers always hold the partner with one hand. Depends on whether they're left-handed or right-handed. But they will hold their partner with a hand, and the other one is used for a gentle, light touch. Jesus always has his hand upon you and I. He's always holding us continually. And he's going to guide you and I with his counsel. And as he guides us and as he leads us, he's going to just dance us all the way into glory. Jesus is going to do that. Okay, I spent a lot of time on dance. There's three letters I didn't cover. G, U, I. What did you just come up with? Huh? You're trying to figure out those G, U, I's in your head. I saw them. I saw the wheel spinning. What were you thinking? G, U, I. Guidance. G-U-I-D-A-N-C-E. G-U-I. God, you, and I, Jesus wants to dance with us so that we will flow smoothly and in the path that he wants to take us. And I'm going to close with this statement the Lord had me write down. Well, before I read that, I'm going to read a couple other things. If two dancers are to become one body, moving beautifully, the dance takes surrender, willingness, and attentiveness from the person following. And gentle guidance and skill from the one leading. G-U-I. God, you, and I. See, when we are willing to let God lead, you and I will be able to be in a dance with God Almighty, and we'll begin to just flow. We won't fight it. We won't resist it. We'll just say, I want to follow you, Lord. And he's going, good, because I want to lead you. I want to take my hand, grab your hand, and say, come dance with me. Come dance with me. Jesus is asking you to come dance with him. I put dance together with God, trusting God to lead and to guide you through each season of your life. And in being able to hear God's voice more clearly, because Pastor Mark's going to be teaching on it, I wrote this down. In being able to hear God's voice more clearly, we will flow more smoothly as the two dancers became one. Jesus will lead, and we will follow and begin to just... This earth is a dance floor. God wants you to just dance us around. This worldly dance floor so that all those who do not know him can see what happens when you surrender your life to Jesus. When I surrender my life to Jesus, it's just a flow. Not a fight. It's not a struggle. It's just a flow. Heavenly Father, thank you for your guidance. Thank you for knowing that when you called your disciples, you told them to take up their cross and follow you. Lord, you're still telling your people today to follow you. Not to seek after our own desires, not to seek after our own plans and our own purposes, to follow you, to let you lead. Your Holy Spirit wants to lead us into all truth. You want to lead us into righteousness. You want to lead us into truth. You want to lead us in the way that you have purposed and planned for each and every one of our lives. Lord, we ask that you just take us by the hand and let us become your dance partner so that we can begin to flow smoothly in the aspects of our life that you have not been allowed to lead us in. And as we begin to flow with you as one, we will see a change not only in our lives, but we'll begin to see a change in everyone else's lives as they too become one with you, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Any questions, comments?